to settle down, but they won't let me. A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home.
Well, this is more fun than talking fugitive. It's singing fugitive on KSAV. That's just kind of an ad lib. Actually, it's talking fugitive with Kitty and Bobby. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. It's been a brief 2 weeks since we were here previously, but we're ready for another 30 minutes devoted to the all-time favorite television program, at least as far as people on this show are concerned. If you want to participate in the program tonight, the phone number, as usual, 800-407-KSAV, 800-407-5728. And there's a new email address for The Fugitive. I'll let the host give that out during the program only. If you have an email you want to send in for them, send it to my old standby, talk@ksav.org. All right. I know people really prefer listening to me, but I'm sorry. Kitty and Bob, you guys have got to take over now.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
All righty. Well, we were here for the past 2 weeks talking about Never Wave Goodbye, which was from season one, and that was a two-part episode, but we've decided that it needs a third part, and that is because for the past 43 years, Karen, who is the love interest in that episode, has been left on the beach waiting for a man who is bound to never come back. And that's pretty troubling because we like her a lot, and I think she deserves to move on with her life, which she did not do in that story. And before I give this to Kitty, I want to point out that I know that later on tonight you're doing a special about Quinn Martin shows. And, of course, one of the hallmarks of his programs was to have various episodes in four different parts plus an epilogue. And The Fugitive was like that, of course. It had the same thing. And to the best of my memory, I went back through Ed Robertson's book and I thought about all the episodes. In just about all of them, or close to it, or maybe all of them, in the epilogue, whatever character was featured in that story comes back in the epilogue, and you get to see what happened to them. Some of them go to jail, some of them do not survive, some of them go on with their lives. There's always something to see what happens to the character. Now, we know what happens to Richard Kimball because he continues to run. So even though every episode ends with him walking down the road or getting on a train or whatever, that's a given. We know that that's there, but we wonder what happens to these other characters. Quinn Martin shows were unusual in that because you got to see that little bit at the end to tell you how things wrapped up. In this particular episode, though, that doesn't happen because the epilogue is really part of the story. The very end there where she is left on the beach and Kimball walks away is the epilogue. So there's nothing after that to show what happened to her after he walked away, which is really unusual. I mean, it stands out. If you've seen the entire series, you begin to think to yourself, gosh, in all the other stories, I get to see what happened, but not to her. So that's how I came up with this show. I thought to myself, you know, you got to wonder exactly what happened to her afterwards because she's left there completely destroyed, really. She's got nothing. Her uncle has died. She's turned away her longtime boyfriend in favor of Richard Kimball. She's left with nothing, and that's very troubling. So that's why we're here tonight, not to praise Karen, because we've done that before, but to save her, because we really don't know what happened to her. Now, I know that Linda sent in an extensive email in which she talked about a lot of this, so I'm going to let Kitty read it and comment on it, and we'll take it from there. Go ahead, Kitty.
Okay. Well, the first thing she said was, I think Karen's appeal for us is that she is the only woman in the series who truly makes Kimball happy and lighthearted. After seeing the stress in his marriage, we wish we could see them go off into the sunset together, and I think that is precisely why we never hear of her again. Kimball simply cannot afford to think of her in what might have been. It would be too distressing and divert him from his purpose of finding the one-armed man. Indeed, he never has another lighthearted moment with anyone. It's kind of an interesting point because you have to remember, too, at this point in the series, these were episodes 4 and 5, and you know, of course, we had in part one where he went to go see a one-armed man, but it wasn't the one-armed man. Nobody knew what the one-armed man looked like. And in this instance, we have no idea that he had a bad marriage. You know, we haven't seen Helen Kimball yet, so we don't know that he was massively stressed out in his marriage. All we know is that there was an argument on the night that they died. And then in the next part where you ask the question, what happened to Karen, she says, it's easy to look at this from a modern-day perspective and say Karen would have gone back to run the business, but I think the reality of the 60s was that a man, or was that a woman at the head of any business, let alone one that was in a man's field, would not be given the respect she needed to make a go of this. After all, she did the bookwork, not the sale-making. It's possible she could have worked with Eric, but their relationship would surely have been strained. She might have hired someone in his place. Given that she obviously loved the community she lived in, I doubt she would have moved elsewhere to look for another sale maker. And given the other doctor's obvious love for her, I think he would have put pressure on her to marry him and settle down to raise a family, as he clearly intended before she met Kimball. Perhaps the only thing stopping her before was her uncle's need for her help, and that need no longer existed. And I actually disagree with this, because I think, you know, yes, the 60s, it was when this story took place, it was a little bit before the so-called women's lib movement became, you know, a movement, so to say. But it's not like women, single women who were unmarried, didn't have jobs. I mean, I think there's plenty of women out there who had jobs that were not married. And to say that she couldn't make it in a field that was dominated by men, I say, look at the first women doctors. You know, look at Amelia Earhart, who was flying planes, and that was considered pretty much a man's occupation. You know, I don't think that's very nice to Karen to say that she doesn't have what it takes to make it in the business world that's in a business that's predominated by men. And as for Eric, I think her first order of business when she got back would have been to throw him out. I think she would have fired him, no ands, ifs, or buts. And I think, too, there's another variable here. She says that the other doctor loved her, but let's take this down a notch. She told him she wasn't interested. She told him she didn't love him. And when she got back, what makes anybody think that that doctor still would have wanted her, particularly after the story got back to him that here it is, she dumped him, an upstanding, productive member of society, to go run off with a fugitive. I just can't imagine a guy being that forgiving, particularly when she says, I don't love you. I can't imagine a guy saying, oh, honey, I know you don't love me, but marry me anyway, in spite of the fact you ran off with a criminal. You know, I don't see it. And then the last part about the email.
Let me stop you right there.
Sorry. Oh, sure.
Yeah, before we get into that. As far as the first thing is concerned, I like Linda's email. I think it's great, but I don't agree with any of it. The beginning of it, I don't think that it's realistic to think that because he has other things on his mind, he never thinks about her or about any of the women he meets. You know, the series is done kind of like an anthology, so every story is separate. So you don't see him thinking back to anybody or anything that happened.
Oh, no. I mean, one of the key things we've always talked about several times is that both Kimball and Gerard seem to always have amnesia whenever they see each other.
So I can't honestly believe that he doesn't think about it just because I don't see it.
Yeah.
Just because it's not on the screen that he walks away and says, well, you know, love him and lose him, that's the way it goes. I'm just going to get out of here and I'm going to try to forget her. I don't think that really works, even though he has other things on his mind. As far as her not being able to run the sale-making business, I totally agree with you, and I completely disagree with that, because actually her job there, taking care of the books, makes her very well qualified to run the business. because you can always hire other sailmakers.
Exactly.
You can always go out and get anybody, but you need somebody to run the business. Now, if it was the other way around and she was a sailmaker, I might be inclined to say, yeah, but who's going to run the business? She doesn't know what to do or how to pay the bills or who to hire. But in reality, actually, she's more qualified to run the business than she would have been on the other side. So I have to believe that she would indeed have gone back and run that, not, whether she really wanted to or not, because of her uncle. I mean, her uncle dies during the story, and I don't think that she would have gone back and said, well, you know, he's gone, I'm going to shut the doors down, or I'm going to sell it to somebody else. I just don't buy that. And one of the problems we have here is that the series is on in the mid-60s. And I know that in our group, on our message board, we tend sometimes to write everything off to that. And we simply say, well, you know what? People thought that way back then, that a woman couldn't do anything, that if she broke up with a guy, that was the end of her life, and, you know, what is she going to do now? Nobody thinks that way anymore because women are doing everything and running everything.
But the thing of it is, I think that's just what was perceived on TV. I think there's lots of women who broke up with boyfriends and, you know, who broke up with fiancés, and they got jobs. You know, they went on with their lives.
I can tell you that from personal experience. And right around that time, in the 60s, my aunt, my father's sister on that side of the family, got divorced from her husband, and he left her with two children. And she went on and went to work and had a very successful career for the rest of her life. She didn't just fall apart. She didn't even get married again. So, and that was in the 60s. So it's wrong to think automatically that in the 60s women didn't do anything. It's not true. There's a lot of women who could probably get on this phone tonight and say, I take exception to that. I did this and I did that. And you know, so because of what it is, such a wide difference between now and then, I think we often think back to that time as being so prehistoric that nobody ever did that. But that's wrong. I have to believe that Karen really did go back. Now, whether she has the interest or not in going back to run the company is another matter. But I don't see what else she's really going to do. I think she's qualified to do it. Now, I do have a problem with the Eric thing, because he's pretty nasty in this story. Remember, he has a fight with her early in the story.
Exactly.
And he's the one fighting with Lars when Lars dies. And there's going to be a lot of resentment there. Now, it's never really made clear whether she even knows what happened. Plus, he turns Kimball in. He's the one who gets Gerard.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I have no doubt that she's going to figure it out. It was Eric that turned Kimball in. So, you know, Eric, as far as I'm concerned, he's going to be history. She is going to come back there, and she's going to say, pack your things and get out now.
Yeah, but I'm a little concerned about that, because I wonder whether, you know, he will just go quietly or try to make some trouble for her, because he has a rather temper. I mean, he's, you know, early in the story, he's really angry, and I don't know that he's just going to kind of slink away and say, okay, well, I'm out of here then.
By the same token, she helped save Gerard. She could say to Gerard, you owe me one. Come back here and help me get rid of this guy.
That's true. So I really do believe that she went back and she did something, and I don't know anything else she could have done, because she's really well qualified to run that company, more so than anybody else. And she doesn't strike me as being a very weak woman. For instance, early in the story, when Kimball tells her that he's going to go out on the boat and get lost and how dangerous it is, she doesn't want to even hear about it. She says, I don't care. Where you go, I go. That's what she says then. So she makes up her mind right away, and she's a very strong woman. She doesn't simply collapse and say, well, you know, you're leaving. What am I going to do now? What happens to me? She simply says, well, then I'm going to. So if she can stand there and do that with this really nutty scheme he's got, in my opinion, then I don't think she's going to be afraid to take on a business. As for what Linda said about women not being respected by, well, that was true. I mean, and it's still true today. There's a lot of people who look at women who own their own businesses and don't want to hear about it.
Well, and who's to say she can't
stop them from doing it?
Who's to say she can't hire somebody to be her front man?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, be her personal assistant and just say, if somebody comes in, you know, you do the talking, and then we'll discuss it later.
Right. Somebody's got to do the book. So one of the things about a story like this is that we don't get any background information. We don't really know. The story begins, and she's there, and she's taking care of the books, but we don't know where she comes from, what her background was, how she came to be that way, how close she was to her uncle. We don't know any of that, because there's no time in the story to get into that. So we don't really know that. But I don't consider her a weakling in any respect, and I think that she would have gone right back and done that, but I think she would have continue to think about Richard Kimball, at least for a while. At least I want to think that, because we get so emotional about this story. I don't want to think of it as being just a one-night stand. They knew each other for a while, and that was it. They parted goodbye. That's the end of it. I want to put more into it, so I'm making it up on my own, obviously, and I'm simply saying
I think
they thought that way. But who really knows? So,
well,
you know,
and what do you think about the doctor? Do you think the doctor would have been all happy to take her back?
I got to be honest with you and tell you, I don't like the doctor very much. I don't like her doctor boyfriend because I think he's kind of weak.
All right, listen, you two here. Now that we're talking about people we don't like, I'll take that as my cue. We're going to take a quick time out. And when we come back, we've got Ken, we talk fugitive with Kitty, Bob, and Ken on a regular basis. So let's take a quick time out. We'll come back and get Ken on here and talk some more fugitive on Retro Radio.
The best television on Tuesday night takes place on the radio. Talking Television with Dave White discusses anything and everything concerning television, past, present, and future. Specially featured programs, interesting guests, favorite theme songs, nostalgic commercials, blended with listener phone calls and emails, make the 90 minutes from 7:30 through 9 p.m. Pacific Time a different and entertaining interlude. So make a point on Tuesday to stop watching television and start talking about watching television. 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific on KSAV. World-class radio on the World Wide Web.
Boy, that Talking Television show sounded great. I'm going to stick around for that. That's only about an hour or so. And speaking of fugitive and Talking Television, we've got a fugitive connection to the Talking Television program tonight when my guest Bob Rubin will be on, and he was assistant director of, what'd you say, Bob, season 4 of The Fugitive?
I went back and looked at some of the episodes from each season, and I did not see his name until season 4.
Well, we'll be talking about Quinn Martin programs, and that was one of them, so that'll be included. So people stick around and listen to that tonight at 7:30. Okay, we've got Ken from Vista on the line. Ken, welcome back once again.
Thanks, Dave.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Kitty. I agree with everything you're saying. I think Karen, through this experience, became a stronger person. You know, I think the reason why she didn't go for, you know, that doctor boyfriend in the beginning, I think she explained that he was gone too much, so she didn't want that kind of relationship. So what she did, she fell for Kimball, and I think she right away fell in love with Kimball, and I think because Kimball was a nice guy, he seemed genuine. And Karen herself, you know, Bob, you said she was gorgeous, but that's not all. Karen is sincere, she's genuine, and she has that kind of a heart. Where what she wants is just companionship. So she fell for Kimball, but I think the light came on when she got into the cave. She realized Kimball's run, and this is not the life for her. So as a result, I think Karen became a much stronger person. So when she came back, she ran the company, I believe that. And I agree with you, Kitty. She did not go for that former boyfriend. I think what she did was, she says, all right, whoever I'm going to get involved with, you know, I'm going to mean business this time, and I'm going to try to pick the right guy. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, and what do you think? Do you think the former doctor boyfriend would even want to get together with her at this point?
Oh,
I mean,
I think the boyfriend would have pursued her,
and then she ran off with a fugitive. I mean, like, what guy would want a woman back who did that?
I think he would have pursued her, but I don't think
that.
Karen would have pursued the relationship. So I agree with you there, Kitty.
I agree with all of this, and I just want to tell really quickly, if I can, a little story about Susan Oliver, because I've been spending the evening searching the web for information about her, which is very difficult to do. But there are some obscure websites that give little bits and pieces about her, and I have known this all along. I even posted it on our message board about a week ago, and back when we did the episode 2 years ago. But according to one of the websites, and of course I don't know this for a fact, but it's written that that right around, just after she appeared in The Fugitive, which was in 1963, she apparently got, I'm talking about Susan Oliver, she apparently got involved with a man who was a pilot himself. She was not a pilot at that time. And according to this website, she actually became a pilot to impress him and became very good at it. But their relationship ended. They broke apart, let's not say why. And this was very devastating to her. She did not give up being a pilot simply because she had taken it on to impress him. In fact, she went on to be a very successful pilot. She was the first woman to fly from New York to Russia and back, and she was Pilot of the Year in 1970. So she followed through on that, and she wrote a book, which is right in front of me on my computer screen at the moment, called Odyssey, A Daring Transatlantic Journey by Susan Oliver. It's available on Amazon. There's one copy of it, long out of print, obviously, and it's selling for $130.
Oh, wow.
And there are three reviews on that page in which people talk about how inspiring she is, that she had, she went through a very troubling period in her life. Doesn't say exactly why, but my suspicion is it's because of this breakup, and that she managed to get out of that and go on with her life. And you said that Karen became a stronger person, and Susan Oliver's life actually parallels the kind of thing that happens in the story. It's really ironic,
really?
And this is after the story. So if you want to, you know, go between her and the fictional character, I can see that kind of thing happening. I think Karen did the same thing that Susan Oliver did in real life, which is to go on with her life and not allow this to stand in her way. So I can buy that very easily.
Did she get married again in real life?
No, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have been all over the web. I've been to Internet Movie Database and very many other places, and apparently she never got married.
Wow.
Because certainly it would be written somewhere. She didn't get married. She died at the age of 58. She had lung cancer. She was a lifetime smoker.
Yeah.
And there's one website there which is about actresses and actors who were smokers who died early in life. And she's quoted on there saying that after the breakup with her boyfriend at that time, she became very depressed. And then she tried to give up smoking, but she was unable to. That's the one thing she was not able to conquer. She was able to conquer everything else. So apparently she did not get married. It's really incredible, but from everything I'm reading here, it looks like this was a very devastating moment. As a matter of fact, there's even a website which suggests in kind of an obscure way that she even almost committed suicide at one point. This is how serious this relationship was. So, you know, you look at this fictional story and we say we get emotional about it. In reality, her real life was even more emotional than what happened in Never Wave Goodbye. So
she probably, you know, remained single.
I think that, you know, maybe she carried it over from the story when this kind of thing actually happened to her.
Okay.
I have to believe. So, you know, you can't really, you know, compare a fictional character to the person who plays them. You really shouldn't. And yet somehow I can see where that, you know, you can see that both ways. I want to say something about the boyfriend, and I said earlier, and Ken mentioned him a few minutes ago, and I went back and looked at the end of the episode right before we started the show, and she, actually a little earlier than that, she talks to him, and Ken's right. He promises her, he says, I'm going to cut back on my, you know, my practice, there's going to be more time for you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and she says to him outright, she says, it's not the same, that she's really in love with Richard Kimball. And I agree with you, Kitty. I mean, why would he take her back anyway? I mean, who wants to do that? You're going to take her back on the rebound, and she's already told you she doesn't love you. You know, I mean, it's easy to look at her and say you'd have to be crazy to turn down a chance to live with her. On the other hand, I don't think that that's something anybody would want to do. I said a few minutes ago, I don't particularly like the boyfriend. He's too wishy-washy. He talks to Kimball earlier in the episode in part one, and then later on, and he says, well, he's not going to back off that easily, but he does. I mean, it really distresses me that he doesn't even fight for her. He sees this new guy come to town and virtually take over his girlfriend, and he just goes, well, listen, I tried, and that's
it. Yeah, so it's like, so why should we assume that he was that interested in her marrying him? I mean, when he saw that she was interested in somebody else?
Well, that's exactly right. He really backed away.
It wasn't like we got into any kind of fatal attraction or anything like that.
Right.
So I think his attitude was, okay, hey, there's always another one in the wings. You know?
And you know what? That's a throwback, again, back to the 60s thinking, which is that a man and a woman break up, and he has the option to tell her to get lost, but she has to go back and beg to come back again. That's a part of that thinking from back then, which is that the guy says, listen, I gave you your chance, and you walked away. Don't come to me now. And she goes to him and says, well, I can't live without you now because I've got nobody else.
So let me ask you a question if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
For both of you. All right, we've debated on the message board whether Kimball should have ended up with Karen after the judgment, you know, the final episode.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to tell you guys, I don't think so. I think 4 years is too long. I don't see Karen going back to Kimball, especially after all that time. What do you think?
Well, Linda speculated on that. We got a few minutes left. Can you read the final paragraph from Linda's
Okay. Email? Yeah, you've got the question, did Karen ever try to contact Kimball again? And she wrote, she might have heard the news of his new trial, but given he already had a new girlfriend in the finale and possibly a family of her own by then, I doubt it. But let's speculate on a different ending. Let's assume a heartbroken Karen, unable to face another possibly heartbreaking relationship, resists the doctor and simply remains friends with him, hires someone else to do the sale-making, and continues to run the business. In the finale, the one-armed man is captured near Santa Barbara. Karen's interest is immediately aroused, and she goes to see him and instead finds Gerard setting the trap for Kimball. She sticks around to try to intercept Kimball, and they meet once again just after he has realized that this time it is the right man. Gerard captures Kimball in the midst of a loving embrace, and Karen begs him to give Kimball the chance to prove his innocence. Even Gerard cannot resist Karen, and it is she who walks off on his arm into the sunset. Now, that would have been something.
Okay,
I don't agree.
Ending, but you know what? There's no way. There's no way that Gerard just says, oh, I'm so touched by this, you can just go walk off into the sunset. I don't buy that at all. That sounds ridiculous to me.
You think Karen should have ended up with Karen, Bob?
I think that anybody other than Diane Baker would have been fine.
But, you know, I think it would have been nice if they had... You know, when you think about all of the different ladies that Kimball came into contact with over the series, and it would have been nice if he could have ended up with one of the ladies we had already seen.
Right.
And maybe
I agree.
Had that lady in a couple of episodes before the ending. I mean, it seems like Diane Baker was just planted in the last episode like a geranium.
Yeah. And it gives viewers a feeling that we didn't do this all for nothing. We watched all these relationships because one of them was going to come true. By simply rejecting them all and bringing a new woman in, I feel like an idiot. I feel like, you know, why did I bother to watch all that and even get emotionally involved when there was no chance he'd meet anybody again anyway? They should have brought somebody back, but personally, I vote for Karen. I don't care how many years go by. Some people never forget other people, and I would have liked to come back.
No, I disagree. I think Kimball blew it on the rocks. I think he really broke her heart. And once you break Karen's heart, you can't take her, or Karen's not going to take you back.
You may be right.
There's another lady, and I'll let you know when we get there on the message board.
Ken?
Yeah.
Ken, the program's over.
Thanks.
All right, listen, thanks a lot for calling as usual and participating. We'll hear from you in a couple weeks, okay? All right, he's gone. And listen, you guys didn't give out the new address. I'll do it for during the 2 weeks. Fugitive@ksav.org. If you don't know how to spell it, you're listening to the wrong program. What are you going to be talking about in 2 weeks?
Well, we're going to talk about Lieutenant Gerard and whether he really is an effective investigator.
Oh, I don't see how there could be any question about that. Okay, next week. Next week, getting to know you with Susan McCrae. Who's Susan's guest next week?
I have no idea.
Oh, I know you don't. Studio, who's Susan's guest?
I'm pretty sure she's going to have one.
Okay, good. Susan will be on definitely with a guest next week in this time spot. Stick around at 7:30 Pacific Time, talking television with Dave White. Kitty and Bobby, thanks a lot. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks when we get together again on Sharavision Radio.